The Reformation was an attempt to answer the most fundamental questions of life then, and those questions endure today.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Who is God? Who am I? Where is God found? What does God make of us? Who is Christ? What's the purpose of my life? Why does suffering happen? All those questions remain absolutely pertinent, and the answers that were given in the Reformation are absolutely relevant today.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Reformation's relevancy at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, call 618-223-8385 or visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Many Christians find Lent an odd time of the year. Maybe you've just recently come into knowledge of it or practice of it. Seems kind of a sad, somber time. And then you come upon Holy Week, which is inevitable if you're going to observe Lent. That's where it's driving. It's driving toward Palm Sunday, Christ's entry into Jerusalem the last week, slowing to a crawl in the narrative and following Jesus, well, to the cross and to the grave. And that means that Holy Week can often be understood as a funeral procession or an opportunity to feel sympathy for the suffering Jesus or even sorry for the suffering Jesus. But the hymnody of the church often saves us from misconceptions like that. One of those hymns set for Holy Week is Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. Not the story of defeat, but of the cross as victory. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Palm Sunday. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the hymn, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. Dr. Arthur Just joins us. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Wonderful to be with you, Todd. It's such a delight to be with you during this week that the ancient church called the Great Week. We call it Holy Week. In Spanish, they call it Semana Santa, which is Holy Week. So it's just wonderful to be here with you.
This hymn that we're going to be studying verse by verse, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle, how does it help correct the notion that we often entertain, especially during Holy Week and Good Friday, that this is Jesus' funeral, or that we're gathering to feel sorry for Jesus?
Well, one of the things that happened during the Middle Ages is that, you know, the death of Jesus, as one of my former professors said, Jesus as if he were hit by a Mack truck. I mean, the bloody, gory, suffering, funereal character of Lent and Holy Week took over. And, you know, if you go back to the early Christians, even if you go back to the scriptures themselves, I mean, one of the great themes of the cross is the fact that it is the triumph over Satan. It is the great victory. Some people might know this as the Christus Victor theme. And, you know, Lent starts with that theme. I don't know if people really realize it when they hear about the temptations in the wilderness, but one of the themes of that text is that Jesus actually triumphs over Satan. I mean, he defeats Satan there in the wilderness. And the way he defeats him is by saying to Satan, I am not going to bypass the cross. I am going to take this journey. And there I will have the final victory. And I love this hymn because it does exactly what you said it does in terms of highlighting the very important notion that we triumph with Christ on the cross. And that's where we see his glory. And even though we do suffer with him, and that is our experience in this life, thank God we have this magnificent image of his, in a sense, exaltation, as John says, as he is lifted up on the tree. We've just been studying that text in our Greek readings. that is the text for Palm Sunday. And it is, again, another example where the glory of God is seen in the suffering. And that's why we need to sing hymns like this that celebrate the triumph of Christ.
How old, you've just very well made the case that theologically the cross and biblically the cross is depicted as Christ's glorification and as his victory over sin, death, and the devil. The resurrection is inevitable when the Son of God dies victorious over death. But how old is the idea in the church of the cross as a battlefield?
Well, I think it goes back to the beginning. You know, I teach Galatians, and Galatians, it was written to mercenaries. The mercenaries of the Roman Empire at that time were found in Galatia. And it was a place where, you know, battle was just the way of life. And as I read Galatians with my students, we see over and over again how Paul is engaged in talking about battle imagery. And here's how I like to speak of it in terms of Galatians, that what Paul is saying there to these Gentiles, these mercenaries, these soldiers, is that when they're baptized, they are enlisted as foot soldiers on the front lines of the, and I'll use this language, apocalyptic battle. In other words, the battle that reveals who the church is and who we are in the church. And that, you know, Christ goes with them. You know, he is, as another great hymn says, he is our captain in the well-fought fight. And you know, the imagery of being clothed with armor, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. I mean, that's in the Pauline letters. And that's deeply baptismal. The robe that people put on was Christ himself. And they saw that as a robe that would equip them to fight the battle with Christ, because Christ was, in a sense, clothing them. Christ himself was their clothing, and it was clothing for the battle. So, I mean, it's Pauline. So, I mean, I think Christians picked it up immediately in the baptismal imagery, and they understood that that's what happened in baptism. You know, they are on the front lines, but thank God Jesus is there before them. He goes in the wilderness before them. He goes to Jerusalem before them. He goes into suffering before them. He is lifted up on the tree for them.
This hymn, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle, is exceedingly ancient. It is, by the reckoning in the notes that I see before me, 6th, very early 7th century. Do we know anything about its circumstance or its authorship?
Yeah, The interesting thing about this hymn is that it has a churchly character to it. You know, the hymnist is Fortunatus, who lived between 530 and 609. This hymn was probably written for the occasion of bringing, and I know this is not necessarily in our piety, but the relics of the true cross, a gift from the Eastern Roman Emperor to the Frankish queen. And this hymn accompanied that journey. And it was a great narrative hymn of salvation. And it sung about the triumph of the cross itself. And it was accompanied by another hymn, The Royal Banners Forward Go, which is in our hymnal. It's actually the next hymn. And it was written for the procession in France from Tours to Poitiers. So it has a very deeply ecclesial use, and was oftentimes, and is for us today, the hymn of the day for Good Friday. It's also used for Holy Cross Day. So it's a hymn that really bespeaks the very essence of our faith and goes right to the heart of what Holy Week is all about.
And if you would, before we get into the first stanza, what would you say are the biblical foundations of this particular hymn and its text?
Well, there is one verse here that comes right out of Galatians, you know, and it's in that climactic moment in Galatians in the fullness of time. And we'll see that when it comes, Galatians 4:4. But I think Isaiah 52 and 53 are certainly built underneath this. And there are allusions all over the place in the Gospels to the fact that Christ is the one who triumphs and that he defeats Satan. And I think, you know, in this day and age where I think we need to elevate the notion that Christ defeats Satan, that Satan exists, that one of the great themes of Jesus going to the cross was to defeat these powers that are waging war against us, and Satan being one of the principal powers.
The first stanza of the hymn, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. Sing my tongue the glorious battle, sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross, the trophy, sound the loud triumphant lay. Tell how Christ, the world's Redeemer, as a victim won the day.
Sing my tongue the glorious battle, sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross, the trophy, sound the loud triumphant lay. Tell how Christ, the world's Redeemer, as a victim won the day.
The Concordia Seminary Chorus with the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. What are your thoughts on this first stanza?
Well, I think we've said already how the cross is the triumph and that we are engaged in this battle. But I do want to just suggest this, that, you know, the ending of the fray, what you have here in the triumph is only after the darkest moment in the history of the world. I remember years ago when we were talking about The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie, we were commenting together, this is in the faculty, about how the criticisms were that it was too violent. And I remember our good dear former president, Dean Wenthe, looking at us and saying, you know, it wasn't violent enough. Because at the moment of the cross, in the darkness, that was the most violent moment in the history of the world. That's where God brings about justice. And so when you enter into that fray and go so dark, and the battle is so fierce and so horrific, the triumph is that much greater. And I think the notion here of trophy is a very important notion that Fortunatus is bringing up from the Roman world, you know, where the idea of trophy, he's calling to mind on a Roman battlefield where the tree is placed there around which the soldiers suspend items that show that they have defeated as a sign of their triumph. And we're going to see in the fourth verse that there is this noblest tree where Christ triumphs over death and hell. And I think, you know, in some ways that you can see here above the cross is the notion that he is the King of the Jews and that he is the King now of the universe. And the last line, tell how Christ, the world's Redeemer, as a victim won the day. I mean, we usually think of victims as being, as you began, you know, the sort of pathetic funereal, his poor suffering, we dwell on his death, but here the victim triumphs, and that is the great hope that every Christian has, that in Christ we too will triumph.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will look at more stanzas of the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue, the Glorious Battle. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Tired of mommy bloggers telling you Lent is about simplifying your life? totally over the History Channel speculating on whether or not Jesus' skin was olive or white? Check out the April The Lutheran Witness. We're talking Lent, Easter, and Jesus, who hangs on a cross for you, lies in a tomb for you, and is risen and returning all for you. Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of 6 issues for $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Christian faith is a gift of God's grace. The Christian life is a gift of God's grace. We live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
Pastor Peter Bender talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And that means that our Lutheran piety is also a gift. All too often we see it as another work of the law, something that we must do. Instead, Christ meets us there with his word and spirit, and in our daily devotional life, he teaches us what it is to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us.
You can meet and hear Pastor Peter Bender making the case for Lutheran piety Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues, Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues, Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. on this Palm Sunday, April the 9th. We're studying the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. Dr. Arthur Jest is our guest. Dr. Jest, before the break, you were talking about that, well, it's kind of a tension between victim and victor here, but the church has never decided one or the other or pitted one against the other. Christ makes it clear that he is not a victim of circumstance or of man's intent, but nonetheless, he is sacrificial victim. Talk about that.
Yes. I mean, it's a important part of understanding what it means. And I think this is a verse that I should have referred to when you asked about the biblical understanding. What John says is Christ's final words, it is finished. You know, what is finished? The sacrifice has been made. It is accomplished. The end has come, you know? And you know, you hear Jesus saying earlier, now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out, referring to Satan. When Jesus dies and makes the perfect sacrifice through the shedding of blood, he now goes from being sacrificial victim to victor. And the great irony is that in the moment of death, of actually letting out his breath and dying, he triumphs. And that is the hope that 3 days later we all celebrate, you know, that he has risen and we see in him our own resurrection, and we participate even now through baptism and the means of grace in his very resurrection. We are resurrected people. We are victorious people, even though we sometimes, because of our sin, because of the suffering we experience in this world, we seem more like victims, more like a tragedy than a victor. So that tension is ongoing in our life. It is the nature of our life. But in many ways, the only way in which we can understand our sufferings, to make meaning out of our sufferings, is through the fact that we understand Jesus' sufferings, we participate in them. And as Paul says in Romans 6, we participate in his life, his new life, his victorious life, his resurrected life.
Stanza 2, tell how when length the fullness of the appointed time was come, he, the Word, was born of woman, left for us his father's home, blazed the path of true obedience, shone as light amidst the gloom.
Tell how when at length the fullness of the appointed time was come, he, the Word, was born of woman, left for us his father's home.
This is that Galatians 4:4 passage you were talking about before, isn't it, Dr. Jest?
It is, and I just taught this in class yesterday, and so it's so wonderful to be able to talk about it now in this hymn. I love this verse, not just because it's Galatians, but it puts this in its larger kind of cosmic context. And I mean, the time set by the Father, the fullness of time, sometimes it's translated, God sent his son born of a woman, born of, under the law, to redeem those under the law. That's the Galatians 4:4 passage. Paul Meyer wrote a book, In the Fullness of Time. You know, the Father chose this time to send his son. And that is really captured here in the, you know, left for us his father's home. I mean, one of the themes that I usually teach in both Galatians and in Luke, but especially in Galatians, is the notion that when Jesus comes from the Father, he's coming from heaven, and it's like an invasion. He's descending into our world to redeem it. And there is this great descent all the way into the tomb, and then the ascent on the third day, and then back on the 40th. And that's the Nicene Creed. That's what we confess in the Creed. He came from heaven back to heaven. It's the church year. It's our baptism where we suffer, die, buried, and rise with Christ. I mean, this describes how in the fullness of time, God chose to win the victory through his son in sending him. And I love that last line too. I mean, you know, blaze the path of true obedience. There you can see God, you know, needed to send somebody who was perfect, fully human, without sin, to do what none of us could do, to be obedient even unto death. The faithfulness of Christ is here, his faithful obedience unto death. And then this is a lovely line, shone as light amidst the gloom. In John 12, Jesus talks about himself being the light. This is when he's in, during Holy Week. That's why I mention it. It's a text for Palm Sunday. He is the light in the midst of the gloom of the darkness of that first century world that was oppressed by the Romans, at least among the Jews, you know, that like our world was filled with tragedy and sin and suffering. And yet he was that light. And you know, Jesus tells them in John 12, don't walk in the darkness. Don't get overcome by the darkness. And I think he's referring there to the darkness that's going to happen on the cross. Don't be scandalized by the cross. Recognize that's the whole purpose of the fullness of time, for me to become born of a woman, born under the law, in order that I may redeem back those who are also under the law.
If you would, that blazed the path of true obedience. No man had ever walked that path before, or since the fall of Adam, could. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm drawing on my teaching this quarter. I'm teaching Hebrews right now. And I mean, there's no book that shows more clearly that Jesus is without sin. I mean, he is blameless. He is perfect and holy. And I think that is expressed most fully in the fact that he shows that to be without sin means to do everything that is according to the Father's will, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the great line in the Garden of Gethsemane, that when he looks over the edge of the horror and sees the totality of sin that he must suffer, and you know, in his, you know, person, divine and human nature, he has a moment of pause there, but he comes back and says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. I will be fully obedient to whatever you call me to do, to go into that darkness, to go into that most horrific moment of violence, of justice, where your wrath against sin will be laid on me. But that is the fullness of his obedience, even unto death, death on a cross, as Paul says in Philippians.
We're talking with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. Folks, we're exactly 2 months away from the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Speakers include Terry Mattingly of Get Religion, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine, and Pastor Todd Peppercorn, author of I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran Approach to Depression. Registration is $120 and includes 3 meals. You can find out more and register at issuesetc.org. The 2017 Summer Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, the third stanza of the hymn, Thus with 30 years accomplished, he went forth from Nazareth, destined, dedicated, willing, did his work and met his death. Like a lamb, he humbly yielded on the cross his dying breath.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Anthony Eslin will be speaking on the topic of imagination and education at the second annual Wittenberg Academy Family Retreat, which will be held at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa on April 27th through the 29th, 2017. Join us and be immersed in God's Word, thoughtful discussions, and family fun. For more information or to register, visit www.wittenbergacademy.org and click on the registration tab.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to theclcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. theclcc.org.
Thus with 30 years accomplished, he went forth from Nazareth, destined, dedicated, willing, did his work and met his death. Like a lamb he humbly yielded on the cross his dying breath.
That's stanza 3 of the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue the Glorious Battle. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're studying that hymn with Dr. Arthur Just. Dr. Just, let's talk about stanza 3. It, in what, 4 lines, summarizes the biblical gospels, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, we go all the way from, you know, his baptism at 30 years old, which is, I think, what that's referring to, from Nazareth, you know, his ministry of 3 years, where he is the sin bearer. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that. And he summarizes it this way, destined, dedicated, willing, did his work and met his death. And his work was to release people from bondage through his preaching and his miracles. I mean, he announced the kingdom, he announced the healing, he announced that now he was present to do what God demanded. And he demonstrated it by releasing people from their sicknesses, from their sins, forgiving their sins, casting out demons, raising the dead. You know, all a foretaste of the great release, which is really what the cross is, the release of the totality of the bondage of sin, death, and the devil. And he does it like a lamb. I mean, humbly yielded on the cross his dying breath. This is really a wonderfully brief but stunning verse that describes the very nature of his purpose, his messianic program, as it says in Luke 4 from Isaiah 61, that he was sent to release the captives and recovery of sight of the blind, to proclaim that year of Jubilee, that year of release, and to do it throughout his ministry by his teaching and his miracles. You also get the impression here at the end, as he's a lamb led to the slaughter, you know, the Isaiah 53 passage. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And I also, you know, can't help but think of the Passover lamb. You know, Luke says, when he was talking about how the disciples got the table ready for the Passover, that it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread in which it was necessary to sacrifice the Pascha, the Passover lamb. And of course, they're referring to 2 lambs, the lamb for the supper and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that this Jesus now is, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed. And that very night in which he was betrayed, when he, you know, when Luke tells us that it was necessary to sacrifice the Passover, there he gives us the food of his sacrifice, his body and blood that he will accomplish on the cross. You know, I mean, these two verses are amazing in that you do get the narrative of the scriptures, the salvation history, as many people call it, and how magnificent the poetry is here, and how in just these short, beautiful phrases, he can sum up the entire gospel, as you said.
And I want to talk about that, even though, and you're right, the Old Testament passages you referred to there make a simile between the Christ and the sacrificial lambs. But this is more than simile, isn't it? Christ isn't just like a lamb. He is, in fact, as John the Baptist says, he is the Lamb of God.
And that's the hymn of heaven, you know, the lamb is slain and raised again, you know. That's what we're going to sing at the feast, because he is the lamb who was slaughtered, sacrificed on behalf of our sins. I mean, that's the language of the Lord's Supper, on behalf of you, poured out on behalf of you. That's the blood's lamb. You know, you know these pyramids that you see with the lamb there and the cut in his side. And it's always such a beautiful image. Sometimes he has a staff to show that he's the conquering lamb, to talk about the theme that we're talking about here, that he is the triumphant lamb. But he is the slaughtered lamb. He's triumphant because he's risen. But then oftentimes there's a cup underneath there catching the blood. And that's the blood of the lamb that we now drink, the new covenant in his blood. So the lamb is at the heart of the Passover, you know, which is why I suggest to everybody in your audience that instead of having ham this Easter, they should have lamb.
Stanza 4, faithful cross, true sign of triumph, be for all the noblest tree. None in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thine equal be. Symbol of the world's redemption for the weight that hung on thee.
Faithful cross, true sign of triumph, be for all the noblest tree. None in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit your equal be. Symbol of the world's redemption, for your burden makes us free.
Dr. Just, I think this is the masterpiece stanza here of this kind of hymn to the cross, obviously, to the one who both bore and hung on the cross. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And, you know, the tree is such an important symbol. I mean, it's how we got into trouble in the first place. I mean, there was a tree in a garden from which an apple came, or a fruit that was forbidden, that's plunged us into sin. And now it's another tree that reverses that curse. And again, going back to Galatians, I mean, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, Paul cites from Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. And it was because he was the embodiment of sin on that tree, and also the embodiment of faithfulness and obedience. That's why I love that first line, faithful cross, true sign of triumph. Embodied sin and embodied faithfulness in one person. The law had to curse him because the law curses sin. And in a way, the law kills him by cursing him. I mean, it's like a collision between Christ and the law on the cross that curses him. And yet in that curse is the triumph. And there's the nobility of that tree. That tree now is a tree of life. It's a beautiful hymn in our hymnal by Steve Starkey, The Tree of Life, that really brings out that there is, and I love this line in this verse, none in foliage, none in blossom, none in fruit thy equal be. There is no greater tree than that tree planted on a hillside outside of Jerusalem on a rock pile called Golgotha.
There's also, in addition to that Starkey hymn, I agree with you, it's just hands down one of my favorite hymns. There is this prayer that has now been set within one of the versions of the divine service that we practice that comes right before the words of institution in the sacrament of the table, and says, in your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. That is something that I think is of unique comfort for Christians, to know that God has fully reversed what we did at the fall. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think totally agree. And I think that, you know, little prayer there is also reflected in the proper preface for Holy Week, I believe. We're in a new studio here, and so I'm not in my library. Otherwise, I don't have it access to it. But that is, it's that wonderful little pithy line that by a tree, you know, he has now overcome, and in reference then back to the tree that caused the fall. The noblest tree is just a magnificent image to embody both the curse and the triumph, the victim and the victor. And I think that the last line there, or the last two lines, symbol of the world's redemption, and then this line, for the weight that hung on thee. The weight, I don't know if we really fully can ever appreciate the burden, which is what the weight means, the burden that he bore. And he encourages us to bear one another's burdens, again in Galatians. But that's just a very small fraction of the weight that he bore for us. And there you can see the fray, what he had to enter, the weight and the horror, is what makes that tree the noble tree that it is.
Running through this hymn is really what theologians would call the substitutionary atonement. Because this battle is, in fact, well, at least in its first instance, this battle is between all the forces of sin, death, and the devil, and one man who stands in for all men, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, what you just said, we don't fully realize that these are powers outside of us that are constantly after us, fighting against God, in us. And we can't fight them without Jesus. We have to have Jesus. We need a substitute. We need somebody who can do what we cannot do. We by ourselves do not have the power to do that. So we do need a captain in our well-fought fight who will triumph for us, because we can't. I mean, that's why, we start Lent the way we do. We go into the wilderness with Jesus ahead of us. We turn our faces to Jerusalem with Jesus walking before us. We watch him be lifted up on the tree, and then us in him because of our sin. And then we triumph with him on Easter Sunday, because we couldn't raise ourselves. We can only be raised by the power of his resurrection.
We're studying the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. You can purchase these resources by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Concordia Publishing House's number, 1-800-325-3040. The final stanza and the entire hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle, after this.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
How do we find real masculinity with Jesus hanging on a cross? The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is titled Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jeff Hemmer. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Men in all stages of life will appreciate Man Up. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Man Up, 1-800-325-3040.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon...
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Holy Week hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, this final stanza is a doxology, a classic doxology. I'm going to read it. We're going to hear it. And then I'd just like you to make the connection, if you would, between what we were talking about before. That is Christ's glory on the cross and the glory that is sung of here in this final stanza. Unto God be praise and glory to the Father and the Son, to the eternal Spirit honor, now and evermore be done, praise and glory in the highest while the timeless ages run.
Unto God be praise and glory to the Father and the Son, to the eternal Spirit.
The fifth stanza of the hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. Dr. Just, talk about the genius of putting a ordinary doxology at the end of this hymn.
The Song of Heaven is a song of praise and glory over the triumph of, as it says in Revelation, the Lamb who is worthy, who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Here on earth, we have the opportunity in our worship to join the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven in that song of praise. And there's only one reason why we can do that. Because the Lamb has triumphed. Because the victory at the cross is the source of our praise to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who in the atonement on the cross, on that noblest tree, accomplished their plan of salvation, for which we now, in the last line, while the timeless ages run, from now and forever and ever, of which we are a part, we now can have that privilege, that honor, to have our earthly voices join the heavenly voices in a choir of praise because of the triumph of the cross. We look to that noblest tree, that trophy there on the battlefield that indicates that the victory has been won, that sin is defeated, that Satan has been thrown outside, and that we are now in Christ, victors with him.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle.
Sing my tongue the glorious battle, sing the ending of the fray. Now above the cross the trophy, sound the
Hymn, Sing My Tongue, The Glorious Battle. Dr. Just 2 minutes for your final thoughts on this hymn.
As we now make our final days towards the cross of Calvary, we think about what it was that cost Jesus the ultimate sacrifice. As we think about that, we should smile in joy. Because only Jesus could make that sacrifice. And that joy is the reason for our singing hymns like this hymn of triumph. This is the high point of our year as Christians. It is the time when we think about death and we think about resurrection. It's a time when many of us think about our family who have gone before us in the faith and who are now with Christ, with the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven, and that this Easter we join them as we do every Sunday that we celebrate the Lord's Supper and hear his word proclaimed in songs of triumph. At the end of the day, as much as we are a church that focuses on the cross and the theology of the cross, it is this week as we make our way to Calvary and beyond that to an empty tomb, that we remember that we are people who have conquered in Christ, that we are truly his risen people, and that at the end of the day, the great theme of our life as Christians is joy. Joy in knowing that Christ has triumphed. He has won the victory. We are his children who are part of that victory now and for the ages of ages.
Dr. Arthur Justice, Professor of New Testament and Chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you.
It is my pleasure, and a blessed Holy Week and a very, very happy Easter.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll listen to presentations from the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, the differences between men and women with Molly Hemingway, the historicity of the New Testament with Dr. Paul Meyer, and a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers with Pastor Will Wheaton. And on Easter Sunday evening, we'll discuss the resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah with Dr. Andy Bartelt of Concordia Seminary. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. There at the cross, Jesus is not defeated. He is victorious. He defeats sin, death, and the devil in his death. And the spoils of that victory that Jesus gains, what are they? What makes it worth the suffering that he undergoes in order to gain that victory for us by his suffering and death on the cross? Well, the spoils are us. He gains us, salvation for us, and eternal life for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.